Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Angela Loeb. Thanks for tuning in for today's program, Soul Retreat. And I'm joined today by special guest, Christina Carlin. We're going to talk about the benefits of taking restorative retreats every once in a while as a way to realign your body, mind, and spirit. I love this topic, and I'm so glad Christina, she agreed to join me and talk to me about this because, you know, let me tell you, this is really good stuff, retreating. I've been doing retreats for years myself, and so very excited about talking about it. First, let me tell you a little bit about Christina. I met her while volunteering at a speed coaching clinic back in early 2015. We hit it off instantly. Christina is not only a life coach, she's also a clairvoyant intuitive. I have several close relatives who are also clairvoyant, so I knew just what she meant when she started talking about her work. But in case you don't know, when you're clairvoyant, it means that you have extrasensory perception or the ability to know about an object, a person, an event, something that is beyond one's normal ability using the five senses. And we usually call a person with this kind of ability psychic or empathic or intuitive. We all have intuitive ability. We're just aware of it and use it in varying degrees. Anyway, Christina is able to receive information from divine source that she uses to emotionally heal the person she's working with. If a person is stuck, she can tap into the divine intention that that person's highest good intends, and she can help guide them forward with helpful information. Now, Chris deals with a variety of life challenges. She creates a safe place for them to be vulnerable and real as they face the challenges that make them stuck, but she also works with groups. So I'm delighted and I'm just excited to welcome the wonderful and talented Christina Carlin to the program. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you, Angela. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you were able to do it. This is fun. You and I did a tele-retreat together earlier this year. And so this is really a treat to come and talk to you about these retreats you've been doing in person. And I know you've been doing retreats for a long time. And you just told me at one point, though, that you were guided to offer a special series of retreats, in-person retreats, and you call them soul retreats. And you told me a little bit about them, that these particular retreats have some really cool elements like painting and meditation and that kind of thing. But we're going to talk about that later. But I was really curious about these themes you're talking about having these retreats around. And so you can tell us more about the themes, what you're trying to do for people who come to your retreats, especially about the themes that you're using?
Sure, I'd love to. Well, I just really, working with one-on-one, doing a lot of coaching with one-on-one clients, I started to see a real common denominator, and that was that a lot of my clients, and it even goes beyond my clients, just people in the world, were feeling very stressed out. They're feeling pulled in all kinds of directions. They're feeling like the world's just turning really, really fast. And so I decided to come up with spiritual soul retreats that would help a person move through life easier. And so I do that with different themes. And so every theme that I come up with meets a person where they're at, whether they're mm-hmm. going through grief or some kind of, transition. I developed these themes to kind of help them with that.
Yeah, and I think the first one you did that you told me about was all about the inner goddess. So it was a bunch of women talking about their inner goddess, right? I mean, and getting in touch with that kind of powerful place inside. And,
exactly,
I thought that was so cool. Yeah, I thought that was just so cool. And then you have one coming up that's going to be around people dealing with transition and grief and so forth. I know you really try your best to include all three particular areas of a person, the body, the mind, and the spirit, and try to align that. I know that that's, kind of an undercurrent for all of your programs. So what I'd like to do is just kind of break that down a little bit and talk about how each part, you know, has its challenge, and then the benefits and the activities that you seem to have in your retreats that help people kind of realign those things together. So if we can just start with the body, what do you do to help people get the benefits of healing and realigning in their bodies?
Well, that's a very good question. What I like to do in each retreat is do some kind of activity where it incorporates either gentle movement, you know, just to kind of get them feeling their body, feeling aware of their body, maybe some light stretches, or I might incorporate some meditation where they can just kind of relax and kind of feel into their body through the meditation. So I just use various activities like that to just kind of get people more aware of their body, their breathing, and feeling their body.
Yeah, and I know that you, in the one-on-one work that you've done, you're very aware of how things that we're dealing with manifest as physical ailments in our body too. So, you know, I know that you have that part of what you do in the work you do, and you can, like, look at someone and work with someone and understand what physically is going on with them too and how that's emotionally connected. So is that something that you guys do in the workshops or the retreats that you do together?
Yes, that is something we do. We do breakout sessions where I will partner people that come to the retreat, partner them up with other people, and we do discussions, and then we come back together as a group after the breakout sessions where they partner up. We come back together as a group. We talk about the topic, and then I will go into cold readings for, you know, the people there at the retreat, and they, based on the topic that we're working on or the discussion that we're having.
Yeah. Well, I've seen you do spontaneous work. We've just been sitting there having coffee, and we see somebody that we know. I mean, I've seen you kind of like come in and say, hey, you know, this is what you're dealing with. Oh, yeah, you kind of sense that. So it's kind of cool to see you in action. And I would imagine in a retreat setting where there's a group support, it's just amazing. And so this sounds like, to me, part of the mind work, right, of you've got the body and you've got healing going on, you've got, you know, stress releasing going on with gentle stretches and all that. And then they have the mind, which is where they're stuck, right? And so you're doing activities, like you said, group discussion and that sort of thing. Anything else that you suggest people do when it comes to your program around the mind part, aligning the mind?
I suggest them to come with an open mind. You know, if they're more open and they are less critical of themselves or the work that we're going to be doing, and they just allow themselves just to really relax and maybe open themselves up to a different perspective, because during the retreat, I will kind of twist the mind like a pretzel. You know, I will. Mm-hmm. We will have discussions that are beyond what maybe they normally think or maybe the way they normally perceive life. And mm-hmm. I really like to get that mind going and maybe going down a different pathway. But going down that different pathway might open them up to different possibilities and outcomes mm-hmm. and break them through mm-hmm. whatever making them feel stuck.
Right, right. So like a guided meditation might be something you could do, I guess, to help them with that too, because that sounds like you've done that. You and I have sat down and done that together, so I know how powerful that is. So what about the spirit? You know, you've got body, mind, and then spirit. What do you do in your work, your programs for that to help people with their spirit, reconnecting?
Again, that would be a lot of helping them get quiet, and I like to give them tools to help them go in, and even when they're not with me or they're not at a workshop or a retreat, they're just every day trying to go through life, I help them connect, give them tools where they can connect to spirit or to a higher power that might help them on their daily life. So that's what I do, give them tools and ways to connect to source, spirit, and really bring it, incorporate it into their everyday life.
What's an example of that? Like, what do you do?
An example?
Well,
it would be teaching them how to listen to their own intuition. You know, because we all have intuition. We all have it. Some have it more than others. And so I like to help people at my retreat really tap into their own intuition, start trusting their own inner voice, because so many times we don't trust what we're getting. You know, how many times have you been, you know, at a crossroads and you have this gut feeling, or this, you hear this little voice that tells you to do something, but you second guess yourself and you do something different, and then you realize, wow, I should have gone with my first gut feeling, and you realize I made a mistake, or I should have done it, or I didn't do it. So I really teach people how to hone in to that inner voice and then to trust it.
Yeah, okay. So do you have an example of someone who might have, like, had a trouble with that? I'm just trying to get a sense of what it is, because it's one of the ongoing questions I have for myself, is increasing my ability to tap into that inner source knowing and that intuition. So let's just say I'm a person that's coming to you, and I'm in your retreat, and I'm kind of stuck around this. I don't get it. I'm a little bit like, what do you tell me to do? What was an example of how you might help me open that part of myself?
Well, usually what happens when I feel that someone's kind of skeptical or someone's not trusting or they're closed, I might work with them one-on-one in the group setting, and I will use my own intuition to really tap in to an area that I'm picking up, and they may not have told me, they may not be releasing this information, they may be holding it within, but I will ask them, can I work with you one-on-one right now with a group? And if they say yes, I use my own intuition to tap into where they're feeling stuck, where they're feeling fearful, where they're feeling skeptic, you know, some skepticism, and I usually start talking to them, and then I get them talking to me, because a lot of times it's something that I'm saying that they have no idea how I even know. And that right there will tend to start opening up their mind and shifting them once they see, wow, she just told me something about my childhood and there's no way she could have known. I'm really starting to feel like she's going somewhere with this, or she has something that she could help me with here. Because
right.
A lot of times the childhood is tapped into the now, what's happening with us now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that makes sense. Now, I have a question for you that is something, you know, I've never asked you this, and all the time I've known you now for over a year, I've never asked you, were you like born being intuitive, or did it kind of come upon you gradually, or did you go to some retreat and it just opened up your intuition? I mean, how did you come on with your skills and your talent like you have, with this intuition you have?
Well, I was born with a sense of knowing. I always just kind of knew things about people, could feel energy and just kind of, you know, read the room when I'd walk into a room. But it wasn't till years later, when I was going through a very, very dark time in my life, and I found myself really at a dark space, and I started kind of meditating, trying to get some kind of relief, trying to just really seek answers. And it was during meditation time, even praying during this time, I felt this calling. And the calling was for me to go out and use my gifts. I was kind of scared to do it, but I slowly started, you know, listening to the calling and then reading, kind of using my intuitional gifts with friends and then family. And then from there, it just grew to people I didn't even know because a lot of times my friends and family would get would get benefit from things that I would tell them that would help them in their life. And so then they would just go tell someone else and tell someone else. And so that's kind of how it's just grown for me.
Yeah. And how do you, okay, so this is probably maybe a question you can't answer. Like, how did you get so wise? It's kind of like, you know, you're doing these soul retreats and you're helping people who are coming to them stuck, or maybe they're dealing with a loss, or they're going through some major transition of some sort and it's just challenging. They think they're alone, but maybe your retreat helps them kind of, you know, get a sense of restoring or that they're not alone. And I mean, you're working with them. How do you are you tapping into your intuition and it just that's what gives you the confidence and the wisdom to help them heal and guide them? Is that where it's coming from? Because, I mean, that's just amazing work you do. And so I'm just curious about that. Is that, like, what's that source for you? What happens with you?
It's a very good question. And, yes, I would say it's definitely a higher intervention. I like to call it God, you know, creator. I know every time I'm called to work, whether it's in a group or one-on-one, I know that there's just this presence, this feeling, this intuition that just comes through, and I either hear it, feel it, or see it. And then I'm able just to really lock in with the group or the person that I'm working with, and it just starts flowing, just starts coming out. The information will just come out, and it usually really is on point with what the person needs to hear or what the group is needing to hear. And I guess it just comes from being open and being blessed with an amazing gift. And that's just really how I feel about it, because
it's like you show up, here it is. And it's like, you don't even know what is going to come out of your mouth. It's just, you're doing it.
Exactly. That's it. That's a great way to put it. Just, it's very organic.
Well, and what you said, you know, that triggered, like, for me, I'm thinking, okay, I have, before years, have asked for intuition, and I think mine has grown stronger and stronger. And I can stand up in front of a group and give a presentation, and I'm just looking at a few notes. I don't really want to write out my presentation, and I just kind of let just things happen, and I don't even know exactly what I'm going to say all the time, and it comes out, and it really touches people. It moves them, and I'm thinking to myself, that wasn't me. That wasn't me in charge saying those things, and it wasn't like I checked out. It was, I was present, and I was hearing them myself come out of my own mouth. So I think I know what you're talking about. Because something you said in that just triggered it. Like, I think I do that in a different way. I wouldn't do it in a retreat like you are, and even one-on-one with people like you are. But I can do that when I'm on a stage talking to an audience, actually. So, and I was scared to death to do that. I didn't want to go stand on a stage and talk to people. So I kind of think you probably went through the same thing, right? You're like, I got to do this?
Absolutely. I totally know where you're coming from, because when I very first heard, got the nudge or heard the calling, you know, to even go work one-on-one, it was kind of like, what? Really? Me? Why? You know, but it just got stronger and stronger, this calling, this urge. And I think because it was a calling for me to go and really connect with people and help people, because like I said at the beginning of the call, we're going through some really interesting times, and things are moving very quickly, and things are changing very quickly. And I think people, they want to find the true essence of who they are now. They don't want to wait. They want to change now. They want to live that life they're meant to live now, and they're feeling stuck or they're feeling alone, and God just seems to just put me right in front of that group or that person to really help them move through that. So, yes, it's kind of like I just fall back on faith and just let it happen.
That's awesome. So I would imagine these retreats you're doing, I know you've planned them. I know you have activities like expressing creativity and painting, offering healthy food, doing the reflection, doing the group discussion work. But I bet you, knowing you, it's pretty organic too. It's like, here, we've got to do this. I'm feeling guided. Like, I'm feeling led. Stop this activity. Let's do this instead. I mean, I can so see you doing that in this retreat. So I have, there's another question I have for you, and it's really kind of more general kind of question or discussion, because I think people have a challenge with the whole retreat thing. They think that, you know what, I don't have time for that. I'm just too busy. I got so many things on my plate, or I can't go ask myself to take care of the kids while I go spend a day indulging in myself, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, some of us are pretty good at self-care. But there's so many of us that aren't. And if you're going to tell someone who's kind of on the fence about the benefit of going to take care of themselves this way, I mean, what would you want to say to them? Here's your soapbox. Stand on it and talk about this.
Well, I would ask them, how much do you love yourself? And I'm not talking about a superficial kind of love. I'm talking a real, deep, authentic self-love. How much do you love yourself? Because if you truly, truly love yourself and you're tired of something that's not working for you, something that's not taking you where you want to go, why not invest in yourself? Why not love yourself enough to give yourself a day for you? I mean, we do it for the movies. We do it for games, football games, or whatever it is that we like to go do. We do it for others, but why not stop and do it for yourself and give yourself self-love? That's what I would tell that person. I would say, do this for you, invest in you. It could change your life. It really can.
Yeah. You know, I think about, too, I always remember that analogy that someone told me once about self-care. Imagine you're on the airplane, and if you ever have taken an airplane trip, you know you have to go through that drill that the flight attendants put you through where they talk about, you know, the exits and that your seat can be a flotation device and all that. And they also talk about the oxygen mask and how it becomes, you know, the depressurized the cabin and the oxygen mask will come out and how to use it. And they always say, if you're traveling with a child or someone who's less capable than you, make sure that you put the air mask on yourself first before that person, even though your natural inclination is to put it on that person, because if that person passes out, they can't take care of you. If you pass out, you can't take care of them. So you have to put it on yourself first in order to take care of the passenger you're with. And I was like, that's so true. That is so true. I mean, I'm a parent, and my daughter's now an adult, and I think that any self-care measures I took over the years, she paid attention, even if she wasn't conscious.
Mm-hmm.
She paid attention. And I was setting an example for her. And if I didn't take care of myself, I wasn't a good mommy. I mean, I wasn't. I was going to be grumpy and tired and wouldn't have the energy for her. And if I was stuck and dealing with my own issues, that wasn't fair to her, too. So I can't – that's, to me, the power of taking care of yourself, like doing something like what you're offering. It's such a good call that you're answering the call.
That's a perfect, perfect example of what I was talking about, and that is so true. You know, it's like give yourself – that oxygen mask, which could be a retreat. It could be just going for a walk. It could be going for a spa day. Who knows what it is, but give yourself that nurturing love so that you do have enough to give back to others. So that's a perfect example.
Yeah, and I think this is, you know, I heard that scene one time. When mama's happy, everyone's happy. So I don't think it's just for us women, though. I think men need to take heed of that, too, that, you know, when we take care of ourselves, then we can be happy and take care of others better, or at least show up better to them in our lives. So anyway, I just thought, if this is about soul retreat and you want to realign your mind, body, and spirit so that you have, you know, that soul experience you're here to have, I mean, let's talk about the benefits of it, you know? So... wow. Okay. So we're almost out of time. Before you know it, zoom, a half an hour gone. But I want to make sure that everyone knows that they can, you know, how to reach you, how to find out more about what you do, your readings, your programs, your retreats, what you have coming up. So we can send them to your website. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes.
And go ahead. Tell everybody. I have made a note of it on the site, but go ahead and tell everybody what it is.
Okay, sorry, I jumped again. It's Christina Carlin, CARLIN.com.
Okay.
And I do.
And they can go find out about your latest retreat there too, right?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I do have one coming up on May 21st.
And I know you do these regularly, so even if you listen to this podcast and it's past May, you're going to have other ones coming up. I know you're going to keep doing these, so that's cool. And you do early bird discounts too, so it's good for people to keep checking the site. So anything else you want to say before we wrap up today?
I would just say, you know, just check it out. And if you feel called and guided, and if you have questions, feel free to email me through my website. But I do have one coming up and would love the opportunity to work with each and every one that listened to this call today. So thank you, Angela, for allowing me to be here with you.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. It's always a treat to work with you and talk with you. And I'm looking forward to our get together next week. So it's good to be not only professionally related to you, but also have a friendship. So it's really fun. All right. So that takes us to the end of the program today. And before I go, let me tell you, I'm going to do my next program on April 17th. It's just going to be a little old me, no guests that week. So it'll be a short podcast, but real powerful. It's going to be called The Power of Listening. We're going to talk about active listening skills. Before we go, I want to thank Christina Carlin one more time for being my wonderful guest today. As always, like I said, it's fun to be with you on doing programs like this. Thanks for joining me, Christina.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Angela.
Yeah, good. Okay. Well, and a quick shout-out to all of you who listen in to Be Radiant Radio. A big thank you to you, all of you out there. I appreciate you, and I hope you'll connect with me online through Facebook and Twitter. You can find my Facebook and Twitter pages. The links are at angelaloeb.com. That's ANGELALOEB.com. Until next time, be well and keep shining like you're meant to.